And welcome to the Sportscast, April 30th, 2018. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our platforms, including YouTube and iTunes. The first round of the NBA playoffs are officially done with a few game sevens, and the second round has begun. And we currently have Ty Turner on the line. Welcome to the Sportscast.
What's up, man? How you doing?
Good, man. So let's start with the steamy OKC Jazz series. The Jazz won the series in six games. Great performances by Ricky Rubio and Mitchell. But Russell Westbrook had a heated ending. Ty, was Westbrook rude when he ended the series with those fan rants?
Well, you already know what I think, man. Come on.
Well, tell the audience. They don't know.
I mean, what? Well, I know I'm going to tell the audience, but I got to build it up a little bit. I mean, come on, it's probably one of the most pathetic excuses of a professional athlete that I've seen. And the thing that even made it worse, I think, than, okay, we all get emotional. Obviously, clearly, he is an emotional child, probably has the emotions of a five-year-old, probably needs to see a therapist for, like, I don't know, every day for, like, 5 years. I don't know what he'll need to do. But we clearly know that about Russell Westbrook. But the thing is he freaks out on the fan. First, a fan yelled something, it looked like. Then he freaks out that time. I don't know what's happening. It's the middle of the game. You shouldn't even be concentrating on fans. You should be focused on the game. You know, you're at the opposing team's hometown on their home floor. You're going to get some taunting by fans. You know, you're going to get the whole schnick that everyone gets. So he's halfway through the game. It's not even the end of the game. And he's like freaking out towards the fan. Looks like the fan, the old obscenity, whatever. Okay. Then you lose the game. And then someone's taking a picture of you and you go into the crowd. Whether the person was leaning over, it doesn't really matter. Earlier this year, and he like pushed him. And he said, fans can't do that. But what happened at the Jazz game where fans are yelling at him and taking a picture of him, fans are allowed to do that. You're paid ridiculous amounts of money to play a stupid game. While the rest of us have to struggle working 40 hours a week doing, like, you know, difficult professions just like not saying being a professional. And basketball in general gets paid an exorbitant amount of money. I think basketball is probably the most overpaid of all of the sports, just because they don't necessarily get the best viewership. The viewership's been down pretty much. I am not looking at the numbers right now, but it's been on a trajectory of being down for years. You get paid an exorbitant amount of money and to play a sport. You're on the other team's home floor. It's during the playoffs. You're going to get some taunting. No one went out onto the floor to confront him. People were yelling from the stands. He, not once, but twice. And then the second time, he actually touches the fan, grabs the phone or whatever away. Technically, that's assault. And what the flip are you touching a fan for? And then he blames it on the fan. It was pathetic. He's, like, honestly, I'm done with Russell Westbrook. I'm done with him.
Well,
I don't like him.
This is a
if
story.
If I was commissioner, I'd kick his butt out of the league.
Yeah, I mean, I would find
I
him.
I don't want to hear a story.
I would find him. Westbrook reacted violently.
Find him?
Yeah, or maybe suspend him for a couple of games. I don't know.
No, suspend him. Suspend him like 10 games.
Westbrook reacted violently, which many believe was a response to the fan talking some smack to him. Recently, the fan aired his side of the story along with the video that proves that he said nothing to provoke the Thunder star. Russell Westbrook says, I didn't confront the fans. Fans confronted me. Here in Utah, man, a lot of disrespectful, vulgar things are said to the players here with these fans. It's truly disrespectful. Talk about your families, your kids. It's truly disrespectful to the game, man. So
yeah, I know. Like,
we will see. Like, yeah,
whatever. he has to get. You know, I mean, of course, if he's not fine, then I don't know what the heck Adam Silver's doing. If he's not suspended, I don't know what the heck Adam Silver's doing.
Yeah, I think we'll probably hear This incident happened Saturday night, so we should see, hear something in the next week or two.
Friday.
Yeah, by Friday. So Friday. The Jazz move on to the second round against Houston. What do you predict that series to happen?
They didn't look very good in the first game. Oh, my goodness. Ricky Rubio is a pretty key element to their success. He just does a lot of things. He's not a great scorer. He never will be. He's an excellent passer. He gets a lot of rebounds for a guard. He's a good defender, especially off-the-ball defender. He picks up a lot of, like, cheap stuff, like offensive fouls. When he's in the game, the ball movement for especially the Utah Jazz is noticeably better. Dante Exum, Alex Burke, they just are not the point guards that Rubio is. So, man, how long is he out for? Do you know?
Yeah, Ricky Rubio is expected to be out for 10 days, but the team is saying they're going to look at a day-by-day scenario.
The thing is, they might be so far down when – like, I honestly think with Ricky Rubio, they could possibly upset the Rockets. But without him, no, they don't have a chance. They'll lose in, like, five games. And the thing is, if he's out too many games, they might be down, like, 3-0 or 3-1. And it might be just too late.
Yeah, with those 10 days, yeah. That's pretty much the whole series. That's pretty much the length of the series they're at right now, so.
Because it's the same, obviously, 10 days from when he got hurt.
Correct.
So he's already on. So it's Friday. Saturday's one. Sunday two. 4 days. No, sorry. 3 days. 4 days for game Tuesday. I don't know. When's game 3 and 4?
Game 3 and game 4. I know game 2. Let me double check. The stats, the schedule, which I don't. Oh, yeah. Game three is the 2nd of May. That's Wednesday. Game 3 is May 4th. And then game 4 is game 6. I mean, it's on May 6th. So it'll be Wednesday, Friday, and Sunday.
Well, it's 10 days. He wouldn't be back till game 5. And, yeah, they could be down 3-1. Maybe swept. I don't know. They did not look good. Their offense looked very out of rhythm. They just, they did not look. They were just definitely not as proficient as with Rubio. So we'll see. Hopefully he comes back. But like I said, if he's in there, they have a chance. I mean, they're a good team. They pass the ball extremely well, and, you know, they move the ball and play good defense. But without him, it was a noticeable lapse. And his plus-minus when he's on the floor is significant. Even during the Thunder series, when he went to the bench and, like, they move the ball there as well. They're kind of like isolation type point guards, and those guys, I don't know, I don't like them. And it definitely is not good for the Jazz. For that team, it definitely doesn't work at all. So,
yes.
They need Rubio back. If they don't get Rubio back, it's unfortunate, but they'll probably be out pretty quick.
Yeah, so you get Houston in 5. I think Houston's going to win either in 5 or 6.
Well, you're kind of putting words in my mouth. It depends on if Rubio judged the whole 10 days or not. If Rubio all of a sudden comes back, let's say Rubio only misses one more game. Let's say Rubio's back next Friday.
Yeah.
They get back on the court for a week.
Yeah, knowing Rubio, he'll probably be back before the 10 days.
No, they're not going to be back.
So.
But if Rubio comes back, it goes at least 6 games.
We'll see what happens. What do you predict between the Warriors?
If they all of a sudden
and the Pelicans.
4 games, please.
Okay. What's your prediction for for Cavaliers and Toronto?
Oh, man.
LeBron said he was very tired after the Pacers series.
I know. He had to play seven hard games. Toronto's not that good, though. I don't know, dude. I guess. I think Cleveland's just going to be too tired. And they're going to wear out, just run out of energy. I'm going to take Toronto in six. I don't love Toronto, though. I saw them playing that Washington series. They definitely struggled more than they should have. But I'll say Toronto in six.
Toronto has more depth than Cleveland. I mean, well, yes, Cleveland and Indiana, but they have more depth than Indiana. So we'll see what happens. Toronto is not the playoff. You know, they're good in the regular season, but they don't really perform the best in the playoffs sometimes.
Definitely was a downturn in the play.
Yeah, and they struggled with Washington, so we'll see. But Toronto is healthy. They got more depth. I think Toronto in six, I would think, or maybe seven if LeBron turns his A game. But it's gonna be a bigger test for LeBron. Philadelphia and Boston. What do you think?
I'd say Philly in five. I think Boston had a really tough series. And Jaylen Brown might be out. He has a hamstring injury.
Yeah.
Like Rubio. So if he can't come in, I mean, they're already missing Kyrie Irving. If they're missing Jaylen Brown, it's probably him and Jason Tatum. They did get Marcus Smart back. But, yeah, I right now I'd say five games, Philadelphia.
Philadelphia in five games. I say the same thing. I actually told someone in the bathroom Philadelphia will win in five games.
That's an interesting conversation we have in the bathroom.
Hey, it's just, you know, bathroom men's conversation. It's the only thing we could talk about in the men's bathroom. Okay, on to the NFL draft. What are your thoughts? Any surprises, or this is what you think would have happened?
Well, did I talk to you? Did we do a podcast? Did we do just before?
Before podcast, the prediction. And you had, I think, let me pull up your predictions from last week so I can make sure.
Oh, I was completely off. So if we me too. After, I mean, how off was I? I was terrible.
Yeah, you picked Sam Darnold to be first. It turned out to be Baker Mayfield. You said Bradley Chubb for the Giants. Barkley went to the Giants. And Sam Darnold went to the Jets, and you said Baker Mayfield went to the Jets. So you kind of had to reverse those two.
No, I had a ton. I mean, I was off on so many picks. I mean, it was kind of incredible. I don't know what I got right. So, I'd have to go back and look, but it was very unpredictable. Man, it was an unpredictable draft, to say the least. Who do I think – do you want to know who some teams I thought did very well?
I'll just name them. Do you think Baker Mayfield deserved to be number one?
Did I have him going number one?
I mean, did you? I mean, were you surprised he went number one?
Yes, I was, and I don't know. I don't think he's number one draft pick. No.
Awesome.
I think I sent you a message later on, but I think Baker Mayfield was a very good college player. Obviously did amazing things at Oklahoma, was a 3-time All-American, Heisman Trophy winner, twice made the college football playoffs. But I just do not see him being, it's one, Cleveland's been a struggling franchise. They do not have a ton of weapons. I don't know. I foresee, obviously, it's a tough situation. They've won one game over the past 2 years. Hugh Jackson's still coached there, but he's probably on his last leg if he doesn't turn it around. You know, they have some talent. They have gotten, obviously, two number one draft picks in back-to-back years. Sorry if you hear a noise in the background driving around. I don't foresee Baker Mayfield living up to his number one billing. Yeah, it's a lot of people compare him to like a Russell Wilson or a Drew Brees. But But they, remember, Russell Wilson and Drew Brees stepped into much better situations, too. Like, New Orleans had a pretty good team when Drew Brees was there. He didn't do a lot with San Diego. He was not bad, but it was when he got traded to New Orleans. And New Orleans had a good, obviously great coach in Sean Payton. They had a pretty good team. I think they were in the playoffs between the first year he was there. And then Russell Wilson, of course, went to Seattle under Pete Carroll. They had the best defense in the NFL. And even in general, Mayfield's not near the athlete of Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson ran a 4.5 combine. Russell Wilson was drafted in the major leagues. Mayfield's not that. He's a 4.8 guy. And Drew Brees, probably more similar to him would be a comparison. I mean, his ceiling, if it's Drew Brees, that's a tremendous career. That's a Hall of Fame career. The Super Bowl winning career. But I don't know. I don't see it. So I think it was a little bit of a reach. I would have gone with Sam Darnold.
The fourth pick, the Browns chose Denzel Ward. Was that a good choice for the fourth pick?
No, I think it's a little bit of a reach. He's a good player.
Cornerback from Ohio State.
I would have drafted Bradley Chubb.
And Bradley Chubb went to the Broncos, which people say that was a smart move.
Very good pick. He'll be a rush end, bookend, opposite Von Miller.
And our Josh Rosen fell to the Cardinals, number 10. Do you think Rosen was a little bit, you know, kind of wish he went higher?
Josh Rosen needs to realize he hardly won over 500 games at UCLA. He also missed half of his sophomore season with a shoulder injury and missed two different games, including the bowl game last year with a concussion. What has Josh Rosen really done? He needs to get over himself a little bit. And then going, saying there's 9 mistakes ahead of him, an extremely...
where they found some interesting comments on Twitter, which might have cost him a couple places, but he still got 7th, and he's going to the Bills, and it's both a win-win situation, I think.
Yeah, that seemed a little bit, I don't know, something fishy about that. Comes out the day before something he did when he was like 16 years old. I don't know. Sounded like the Bills might have leaked that information so the Browns wouldn't draft him.
And your Packers got Jair Alexander.
Hold on, let me talk.
Okay.
I think Sam Darnold ends up being the best quarterback of the four.
Okay.
I like the situation he stepped into. I like that he's going to play under Josh McCown the first year, probably won't have to play. I like his situation best, and I think he ultimately, I think as just as long as he's not such a gunslinger, I think he ends up doing pretty well. I think he ends up being the best quarterback of the four, top four.
Yeah, Josh Allen is.
Go ahead.
Is definitely one of the best. We'll see how he does with the Bills. The Bills need a quarterarback, and I think this might be the best.
No, I said Sam Darnold. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. I can hear you, but I'm just going back to Josh Allen.
I did say Josh Allen. I said Sam Darnold.
Yeah. Sam Darnold, most complete quarterback, and I still think he would have been the safest quarterback for the Browns. But obviously, they chose hype over, I guess, skill.
So you think Baker Mayfield's just hype?
I mean, he's a good quarterback, but obviously, he's a popular quarterback. He's probably popular more popular amongst the women than anything else. But you know, he might bring that spark. I know he's more responsible than Johnny Manziel, so perhaps this might be good for Cleveland. We'll see.
So do you like the first pick of the draft?
Not really. I would have chose something else. I would have chose, you know, Saquon Barkley, and then the fourth pick, go for a quarterback. You know, get the good valuable stuff out of the way. But that's what I would.
Who did you have going first at the quarterback?
For a quarterback, I had the Giants going Sam Darnold.
Okay, and then you had the Jets going with who? With Rosen.
Rosen.
Okay. And where'd you have Allen going?
Allen, I think it probably was the Broncos, I think. I got to double check.
And then where did you have Mayfield going then?
Ah, boy. Let me see. Predictions. NFL draft. And I don't have it with me. Wait. I actually do. Let me pull that up on my Facebook. NFL draft. Da, 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 da. Actually, I have it on my Instagram, so let me double check. I had it posted. Okay, I had Saquon. Okay, Baker Mayfield. I had him going. Had him going to the Broncos. I had Barkley to the Browns, Darnold to the Giants, Rosen to the Jets, Allen to the Browns, and Mayfield to the Broncos.
Oh, okay. So you had the four of the first five.
Yeah.
So it turned out a little different than you had it, too.
Way different.
It turned out very different than what you had it.
Yeah.
So you pretty much were swinging a miss just like me. Anyways, yeah. On to my Packers. Pretty good draft for them. Like it. I didn't like it that much at first. I still wouldn't say I love it, but I like it. They traded down, got the Saints' number one pick next year. First two draft picks were cornerbacks, number 18 pick, Jair Alexander out of Louisville, an amazing returner. He's a great returner. I mean, I remember him in college because I watched him a lot because get an eye on your boy, Lamar. And I saw a play against Clemson, took one to the house. No, not against Clemson. He had an interception. He had two interceptions against Clemson. He took a punt return to the house against Florida State. Had a very good sophomore year. Was injured a little bit the junior year. But he's a dynamic guy. And then you got Josh Jackson, eight interceptions. He had two pick sixes against Wisconsin. A big corner. He really has good ball skills. So I like them, two good corners, and then you draft three wide receivers in the later rounds. Aquiani at St. Brown was really good under Kaiser. He just didn't do a whole lot last year. And Scantling can fly for USF. I saw him play. He can really run. And Brown out of Missouri was a very good receiver. I think he's second team All-Pack. Sorry, All-SEC, catching balls from Drew Locke. But, yeah, pretty good draft. Like between the three late round receivers and some solid corners at the beginning and a couple edge rushers.
But to the Steelers, he could have been six quarterbacks in the first round, but he dropped to 76. What are your thoughts?
Hopefully, he has a terrific career.
You predicted him to go higher.
I did. I actually had New England drafting him, but once New England passed on him, I didn't think any other team was going to take a flyer on him until late. Like, I knew once New England didn't draft him, I was looking at the rest of the board, and I knew, like, Packers, of course, and I knew, like, I'm not looking at the draft right offhand. See if I can. I forget who the end of the draft. And, like, I didn't see. Who's drafted at the end of the first round?
In the first round,
I didn't think the Eagles weren't going to draft him. I had a feeling that the Vikings weren't going to draft him. Obviously, they put all that money into Cousins. I didn't think that give me some teams. Who's in? Steelers? Well, Steelers did end up drafting him.
Yeah.
But I didn't think they'd draft him in the first round.
The Ravens got Lamar Jackson.
And they traded down, I knew it. Once Lamar was dropping, I had a feeling that Lamar was going to go before Rudolph, just because he was a more successful college quarterback. So I just had a feeling when people were passing Lamar that they were going to pass on Rudolph, and then obviously Lamar ended up being the very last pick. The Ravens traded back up with the Eagles in order to get him, and then I kind of knew at that point that Rudolph was probably not going to go until the third or fourth round, and a team that maybe, like, had an aging quarterback would take a flyer on him as a third-round pick, and that's what happened with the Steelers. So, yes, I thought he was going to get, I predicted a shocker that he was going to get picked by New England, but once he didn't, I kind of thought he was going to fall to, like, the third round, and he did.
The Raiders drafted Colton Miller. People thought that was an unusual pick. John Gruden is the coach of the Oakland Raiders. Derwin James tumbled to number 17. He's a safety out of Florida State.
Mm-hmm.
Seahawks take Rashad Penny at number 27.
That's kind of a shocker.
Harold Landry, Joshua Jackson, Darius Geuse fall down deep. And Maurice Hurst-Full. Maurice Hurst's slide didn't end in the early to mid rounds. Hurst, one of the best defensive tackles prospects in the draft based on football alone, fell all the way to the Raiders in the fifth round, number 140.
Wow.
But, yeah, the NFL draft is unpredictable. You know, some people like it. Some people hate it. Some people love it. Me, as a Dolphin fan, we wanted a quarterback. We went with Minka Fitzpatrick, but we had no quarter. We didn't pick any quarterbacks at all. We missed out on Berrios. He was a receiver from Miami, and the Patriots took him. So we're really upset that we could have took him.
Did Berrios get drafted, or was he an unrestricted free agent?
He got drafted to the New England Patriots.
What pick?
Wow, good question. I think it's in one of the lower rounds. Let me double check.
He was pretty good in college. I can't stand your Hurricanes though. I hope they get destroyed every game this year.
We're coming back.
But the thing is,
210th overall. Whatever. 210th.
Oh wow, he got drafted. He got drafted high. He's a good returner too. He has a lot of value. So, and the Patriots also drafted Sony Michel out of Georgia, who's a pretty good player. Next year's draft. I mean, I love the draft. I'm a huge college football fan. I'm a bigger college football fan than I am NFL fan. And so I love seeing when I follow these guys throughout their like high school career. I'm big into the recruiting, like college recruiting, all the way from high school. And I follow these guys. They play in the Elite 11. They play in the Army All-American game. They play in the Under Armour All-American game. And I follow a lot of their careers. I know where a lot of them go. It's interesting to see them where they end up going, and then seeing their college careers, and then seeing them get drafted. And so it's pretty cool. So yeah. I'm a huge fan of the draft. I'm already looking forward to next year's draft. I've got my eye on the prize. 2019.
You're scouting away, and I think Alabama had a good class coming out. Of this class. I mean, Alabama players got selected a lot for this draft.
Well, they always do. Alabama always does. Clemson's the one that's really to watch. They have four guys that could go in the first round that play defensive line. Christian Wilkerson, Dexter Lawrence, Selena Farrell, and I forgot the guy's first name, but Bryant. So they might have four defensive linemen that go in the first round. They're for sure going to have two to three. They go in the first round. And I'm an Oregon Ducks fan. Our quarterback is projected to possibly be a top five pick, Justin Herbert. So if your precious Dolphins need a quarterback and have a really bad year next year, they might get him.
We probably will.
Watch. We'll see how his year ends up. But he's 6'6", about 230, and he has a rocket arm. He's a 4.2 biology student, and he can run good, too. He's not really elusive, but he's about 4.6, 4.7, which for 6'6", 230, that's pretty fast. So, with a great arm. So, if your Dolphins have a paltry year and end up with, like, the fourth pick, they might get him. He could be your pick.
We should, I hope. I'll definitely let them know. They're just down the road from me.
Keep an eye out on him.
Because I don't trust Tannehill. I think this season is make or break for him. Make or break.
But the thing you don't want is to, like, where you kind of hang in there and just get a middle round pick. And, you know, the middle round, sometimes if there's a really good quarterback, he's not even around the middle of the first round. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, if it's a good quarterback, he's going to go in the top five, top ten. So, you know, even by the middle of the first round, if a quarterback is lasting that long, is he really the guy? Like, look at Tannehill. What was Tannehill? He was like a middle round, first round pick, right?
Yeah, he was definitely middle to lower. Absolutely.
He was like, I think he was like the 17th pick out of A&M. And, you know, that's what you've gotten. He
actually was 8th overall pick in 2012.
Oh, he was 8th?
Yeah.
And see, that tells you, like, I remember him at A&M. You know, he played receiver at one point.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. So he's a good athlete, but so you have a guy like Ryan Tannehill that went 8th, and he's been a pretty average, right? Wouldn't you say? He's been a pretty average quarterback.
Yeah, he's average. He's not the make or break. He's not the championship quarterback, I would think.
Yeah, he's been average. And he went 8th. So if you're falling to like 14th, 15th, the chances, you know, of getting that top, like a really elite quarterback is not that good. You never know. You might get the Tom Brady. You might get the Drew Brees. You might, you know, might get the Kurt Warner. You just never know. But the chances are the elite quarterbacks, the Andrew Lux, the Marcus Mariota, the whoever, I mean, name them. Aaron Rodgers did fall to the 24th pick, and how lucky were the Packers? Talking about, he should have been he was supposed to be the second pick in the draft, and he ended up being the 24th. It was crazy, and obviously he turned into Aaron Rodgers. But for the most part, the really elite picks will go within the top 10. So hopefully the Dolphins, either Tannehill completely becomes a superstar this year, or he just kind of tanks, and you guys get a top 10 pick, and you can draft a Justin Herbert or whoever else is good next year.
I agree. Hopefully the Dolphins will hopefully get something, you know, out of this next season. Either we win or we bust, but the bust could turn out to be a good NFL draft, and hopefully our front office will do better decision making and have better judgment. Who do you have for tonight? The Sixers and Boston, 8 p.m.
The Sixers.
I got the Sixers as well. Tyler, how can people reach you?
T.T. Turner, too.
There you go. NFL talk continues. NBA playoffs. Thanks for coming on to the Sportscast.
Okay, thanks, bro.